Hello and welcome to the River's Edge Church Podcast. Today, Pastor Dave Johnson will bring a message of hope through our series, Heaven Meets Earth. We are excited to share another episode with you today. And now, here's Pastor Dave.
Well, as we get into the message today, I want to tell you a story because I love these stories where accidentally, like, entire countries preach the gospel, and they don't even realize it. They're some of my favorite stories, and this story comes from a couple years ago in the country of Colombia. The country of Colombia had a 50-year civil war. Think about that for a second, how devastating that is. Our American Civil War lasted from April 1861 to April 1865, 4 years, divided the country, lasting tensions until today. For 4 years of a war. This is a 50-year civil war. The brutality is insane. It's amazing to think of their country even lasted this long going into a war. And not in a civil war. Not even that. Like, this is on top of some of the other things that Colombia had to deal with. Many of you know, about some of these, you know, big-time drug dealers and things like that. The cocaine trade came from there, and there's all kinds of horrible things coming out of Colombia. There was cocaine wars, narco wars, all sorts of horrible, horrible things that was happening in this country, all in the midst of this 50-year-long span civil war. Literally, people who lived there had never lived a day in peace in their life. When they lived in Colombia, if they were under the age of 50, they had never known a day of peace. This is a group called the FARC, which you may have heard of. It's the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, and they're trying to simply overthrow the government. But, you know, 50 years down the line, a lot of people really couldn't even remember why they were fighting in the first place. So over 50 years, 5.7 million people were displaced because of this war. 220,000 people died because of this war, and it lasted 50 years. But in 2016... demobilization began. A peace deal began. And the story of this peace deal is so amazing and so revolutionary. I just love what they did because the government was kind of out of ideas. You know, the way that governments operate when there's a war usually is they shot us, we'll shoot back, and then wouldn't you know it, more and more shooting happens, right? But this government said, we need to figure something else out. So what they realized what they needed was a way to communicate with these people. They needed a way to reach into the jungle and to talk to them. And so they actually hired a marketing and PR firm. That's instead of ending a war with guns blazing and all that, they hired a marketing firm. And the story of this is incredible. The Colombian government said, we want to change our strategy. We want peace. We want peace in Colombia. So they hired this marketing firm, and they said, we want to end this war, and we need information about these people. So they did some research on people who had come out of the FARC group, and they wanted to find out a little bit more about them. And they said, what would cause you to lay down your arms? What would cause you to come out of the jungle? And what they learned from the ex-rebels was huge, and that was the guerrillas are as much as a prisoner of the organization as the ones they hold hostage, because they would hold people hostage and make them fight. But they were prisoners too. You couldn't leave. You were fighting this in this guerrilla war and the FARC armed services and all this stuff, but you were trapped there. If you fell in love with somebody, they would take that person and move them far away. You know, if you owed them anything, they'd make it instantly where you owed them money. It was impossible to leave the rebel group. Impossible to lay your arms down. So how do you reach a group of people who are actually captives themselves? Well, they realized this, that at Christmas time, there was more demobilizations than any other time because people got homesick. They missed their homes. They missed their families. They missed the Christmas tree. They missed all these different things. So I want to give you the course of three Christmases in a row, Colombia laid out this incredible strategy that just sort of accidentally preached the gospel and had an amazing success and ended a war. And so I want to give you a couple video clips. This is from a TED Talk. You could find this on YouTube. Watch the whole thing. It's really great. But I'm only going to show you a couple seconds of each clip. The first one is the marketing director himself, Jose Miguel Sokolov, the director of marketing for this initiative. I want to have him tell you about year one.
I am going to talk about gigantic trees that we put in 9 strategic pathways in the jungle, covered with Christmas lights. These trees helped us demobilize 331 guerrillas, roughly 5% of the guerrilla force at the time. These trees were lit up at night, and they had a sign beside them that said, "If Christmas can come to the jungle, you can come home. Demobilize. In Christmas, everything is possible."
Isn't that cool? They put giant Christmas trees out in the middle of the jungle. And they said, you know, they just put this light in the darkness. That kind of sounds like a scripture I've read somewhere, right? This light in the darkness. And they drew attention to them, and they got 331 people. And that's good, but there's so many of these rebels that 331 wasn't nearly enough. But they got a really good amount. And what they did was they talked to these people who came out. And they said, "Well, why didn't we get more people?" And they said, "Well, you know, we actually don't travel by foot anymore. We travel by river. River is our main recruiting ground. The river is our main travel and all that." So they took all this information that they got with the success of year one, and they took it to year two. I want to have them tell you about that right now.
What happened later is that the guerrillas who came out during the Christmas tree operation and all of that said, "That's really good. Christmas trees are really cool. But you know what? We really don't walk anymore. We use rivers." So rivers are the highways of the jungle. And this is something we learned. And most of the recruiting was being done around, in and around the river villages. So we went to these river villages, and we asked the people, and probably some of them were direct acquaintances of the guerrilla. We asked them, "Can you send guerrillas a message?" We collected over 6,000 messages. Some of them were notes saying "get out." Some of them were toys. Some of them were candy. Even people took off their jewelry, their little crosses and religious things, and put them in these floating balls that we sent down the rivers so that they could be picked up at night. And we sent thousands of these down the rivers and then picked them up later if they weren't. But lots of them were picked up. This generated, on average, a demobilization every 6 hours. So this was incredible, and it was about come home at Christmas.
All right, so year one, giant Christmas trees in the jungle, a beacon of light in the darkness. Year two, they figured out how to reach these people better, so they take these giant floating balls, they float them down the river, and they put notes, personalized notes in there to encourage them, and they got every 6 hours they got a demobilization. That's incredible. So it's working. This strategy is working. It's amazing. It actually reminds me of this incredible story in the Bible of Jacob and Esau. You know, sometimes the stories in the Bible are not about what to do. They're about the things people have done wrong. This guy named Jacob was a deceiver. He deceives his brother, and over a long period of time, amasses wealth because of his deception. And he has to go face his brother again. And his brother, he's afraid he's going to kill him because he defrauded his brother way back in the day. And so instead of just going to face him, he just lays out and he just sends giant like herds of sheep and flocks and goats and things like that as a gift to his brother, and confesses what he's done and asks for forgiveness. It's sort of like these waves of mercy that are going out. And they're saying, "Come and be part of this." I love it when countries accidentally preach the gospel, like I said, because what they're doing is what God did for us at Christmas time. He sends his son, and he says, I love you. I want a relationship with you. Won't you come out of your rebellion? Won't you come on out? I mean, let's be friends. Let's have a relationship. This is what God is doing, and I just love that. And they found out more information from the second Christmas. The second Christmas, they found this out, that it ends up, turns out, there's a lot of guilt in being a guerrilla fighter. Because, will my family accept me? If I come home right now, will they shun me? Or am I welcome back at my house? I've been out here so long. They don't know the things I've done. They don't know the who I've shot at. They don't know just the horrible, evil things I've done out here in the jungle. Will they even want me back? We'll show what they did year three.
when I get out of this, am I going to be rejected? So the past Christmas, what we did was we found 27 mothers of guerrillas, and we asked them to give us pictures of their children when they only could recognize themselves so as not to put their lives in danger. And we asked them to give the most motherly message you can get, which is, before you were a guerrilla, you were my child. So come home, I'm waiting for you. You can see the pictures here, I'll show you a couple. Thank you. And these pictures were placed in many different places, and a lot of them came back, and it was really, really, really beautiful. And then we decided to work with society. So we did mothers at around Christmas time. Now let's talk about the rest of the people. And you may be aware of this or not, but there was a World Cup this year, and Colombia played really well. And it was a unifying moment for Colombia. And what we did was tell the guerrillas, come, get out of the jungle. We're saving a place for you. So this was television. This was all sorts of all different types of media saying, we are saving a place for you. The soldier here in the commercial says, I'm saving a place for you right here in this helicopter so that you can get out of this jungle and go enjoy the World Cup. Ex-football players, radio announcers, everybody was saving a place for the guerrilla. So since we started this work a little over 8 years ago, 17,000 guerrillas have demobilized.
That ended a war. That what they did there over the course of eight years of their work, it ended a war. And they had to address everybody's concerns and feelings that they had, and had to bring people back into society. And it's incredible. In 2016, they signed this peace deal, and it ended this 50 years of war because the country said, we're tired of fighting. We love you. We want you back. It tells the story of Christmas beautifully. It is God stepping out of heaven saying, humanity, you're too important to let go. You're too precious. You're too important to me. I need to send the most important person, I need to send my son to tell all of humanity that you're too important. I need to send my son as a beacon of light, as a Christmas light in the jungle. I need to send my son like you would send these floating balls down the river. I need to send my son as you would send a picture and say, I love you. Don't come back home. This is what God did for us at Christmas. This is the story of Christmas. I mean, you see, the nation of Colombia just sort of laid the gospel out on display, and I don't even know if they realized it. I'm not even sure if they knew it. But I'm amazed at this story, and I love it when this sort of thing happens. See, when Jesus' closest friend, John, went to go write an account of Jesus' life, he went to go write, you know, I'm going to tell the world what Jesus meant to me. I think he had all the gospels at his disposal, and he saw that Luke, you know, there's this really good genealogy, and in Matthew, there's this really good technical genealogy. It's a physical genealogy. It talks about, you know, where Mary came from, where Joseph came from. I think he said, okay, that's good. We've got the family line, but I want people to see spiritually what happened here. Because something far more than physical happened at the birth of Jesus. So his Christmas story happens right in the very beginning of the book of John. It's John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. It'll be up on the screens. It says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's John's genealogy of telling us, where does Jesus come from? He came straight from the Father. And he came to bring the light that the Father has into a dark world. Have any of you ever put new lights in your house and you're like, well, this place needs to be painted? Has anybody ever done that? I've done that. Like we redid some light in our house, and we're like, we got to paint the kitchen. You know, this is not good. We've been living like this. We didn't even realize. It's sort of like what the light of God does, right? It comes into your life and exposes some stuff. You're like, whoa, I got to work on that. But this is what the light of God is. See, the light of God, way back, before even as soon as creation started, the very beginning of the scriptures of Genesis 1 is, you know, God says, let there be light. And as you are reading that text, you're realizing something. The sun and the moon and the stars, they haven't even been created yet. But there was light. Because there was light through God. God was the light. In fact, the last chapters of Revelation tell us that in the new heaven and the new earth, there is no sun, there is no moon, because the Lamb is there. Jesus, the Son of God, is there. And it says the Lamb is the light. God is the bringer of all light. He exposes all things. He illuminates everything. And at Christmas, what John is telling us is that the God who said, let there be light, stepped out of his place of heaven and into a manger in the person of Jesus. See, the whole Bible is getting at here is that you and I, we don't have this light. God has the light. We are only people who could reflect that light. But we, humanity, are like the gorillas in the jungle. We're gorillas that need to lay down our arms. We're gorillas living in darkness. And I love what Isaiah says about the coming Messiah. He says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Talking about the time when Jesus would come. Isaiah starts with this great promise about the coming Messiah. And that this coming Messiah would be just this light that would light up the world, that would bring new life to everything. He'd be like a Christmas tree in rebel-controlled territory. Today we open our service with the agonizing words of Isaiah. Lance, somebody who attends our church, Lance read those in just a powerful way. And it starts like this: oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. The word rend means tear. See, people in Isaiah's day were truly living in darkness. They were being encircled by all these other nations. War was brewing. Everything looked terrible. Was Babylon going to invade? Was Assyria going to tear everybody down? We didn't know. And it just looked horrible. And so Isaiah sits there and prays, Lord, that you would just rend the heavens, rip the heavens and come down, because life seems hopeless right now. We need your light. We need your life here. That's how it started. That's how we started our service today. And even now in our own world, we see war and death and famine and rumors of war and all this stuff. And I think the prayer of God's people right now is, oh God, that you would rend the heavens and come back. And I think we look at all these world situations and we think, oh man, if only they could change. If only those people can change. But the reality is that we're the ones that need it, just as much as anyone else. If only I would change. If only I could lay down my arms. But the Bible is constantly telling us about the God who sets his Christmas trees up in the jungle, the God who sends out these floating lanterns down the river, the God that wants to get your attention and say, before I informed you, I knew you. I knew you from your mother's womb. I know every hair on your head. I know about you. I am God. You are my kids. He is sending his son to reclaim his creation from the darkness. This is what Jesus is doing. This is his plan in the earth. And I think that God is trying to get all of our attention this Christmas. And I think that if you're here, there's no mistake. There's no accident. You're not just visiting for Christmas. Like, you're here at this church, and I think God's trying to get your attention. Because we are all rebels in need of laying down our arms. See, I think the problem is this. Most of human life says, you know, I'm not that bad. I haven't done that many bad things. I'm a pretty good guy, right? I'm pretty decent. I don't cuss, drink, smoke. I don't do that stuff. I'm a pretty good dude. Like, that's our mentality that we go into life. But we're not just imperfect people that need improving. We are rebels who must lay down our arms. That's what we are. And we, the challenge for us is to get past that point of thinking that we're just imperfect people that need improving. No, I mean, I was a pretty good kid, but no, I was a rebel against God that needed to lay down my arms. It didn't matter how morally good I was opposed to God as a kid. I was opposed to God as a teenager. And finally, God got my attention and shook me up a little bit, and I went, whoa. And I saw his light. I saw his love. I realized that he wanted a relationship with me. And it wasn't that I just needed to be slightly better or change in some area or do, you know, be nicer to people or tip better or anything like that. It was that I needed to lay down my rebellion at his feet and say, God, I'm yours. And that's what Christmas is. That's the importance of Christmas. It's not hard to see how in any relationship, rebellion causes trouble, doesn't it? It doesn't matter, you know, if it's relationship with friends at work and or boss and subordinate relationship. It doesn't matter if it's parent-child relationship. Anytime there's rebellion, there is just problems, isn't there? There's just problems. Whatever it is, rebellion hurts relationships. If you have kids living in rebellion, it hurts. But when we live in rebellion to a holy God, we need help. We need a way back. We need a way back to relationship, a way back to good relationship. We need a pathway of laying down our weapons. So when Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about forgiving your enemies. And Jesus actually lives this out. And he says this, "You have heard what it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." It's amazing to me that the national strategy of Colombia was love your enemies. Can you imagine, like, walking into a Joint Chiefs of Staff meeting today and they're like, "Okay, Mr. President, we've got problems in the Middle East, we got problems in Ukraine and Russia, we got problems brewing all over the world. What do you want to do?" And we're like, "All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to love our enemies." Yeah, you're laughing because you would be laughed out of it. You'd be like, "All right, we're going to impeach you right now. You got to get out. You can no longer be president." This is not good national foreign policy strategy, you know? But the national strategy of this country of Colombia was to love their enemies, and it worked. The war ended because this happens to be the same strategy as the Prince of Peace. What happens if we got the light of God in us and we're able to do that with each other, right? What could happen? What could be possible? See, I love that Jesus lived this out. He went to the cross, and the Apostle Paul talks about it this way in Romans chapter 5, verse 10. He says, "For while we were God's enemies." Did you catch that? While we were God's enemies. Why? Because we were living in rebellion to him. "We were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" Just like the FARC were once enemies of the state, just like the state threw light into the forest and sent pictures of their kids, they reached out to their enemies and they said, "We want to be friends with you. I have a seat for you. I have a place for you." This is what God does for us. He stepped out of all glory. You have to understand what's happening in heaven. All glory, where angels are constantly praising him. And he comes to a manger. The holiness, the holy God comes into our world, assumes flesh, and wants to have a relationship with each one of you. He came for you. He came because he loves you. He came because he doesn't care what you've done, where you've been, any of that stuff. He just wants you back. He came because he's ready to forgive your sins as far as the east is to the west. He came because he's ready to have a relationship with you. He came to restore you back to what you were meant to be and to give you a purpose in his good earth. This is what he came to do. This is what Christmas is. He came so that you can make peace with him and that so you can make peace with others. I love what Isaiah 9, 6 through 7 says. It says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." See, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the light guiding us to a new reality that we don't have to live any longer, even in the paradigm of having enemies. That those are all false paradigms and we don't have to live in them. See, what I've come to learn is that I can't really know, experience and know true love without Jesus. I can't really experience true joy and happiness apart from Jesus, that I can't really have true peace apart from Jesus, and that I really can't have true light in my life without Jesus, because he's the source of it all. Because he puts up Christmas lights in the jungle as a beacon to the world, because he took the cross for his enemies, because he loved the guy who was nailing his hand to the cross, because even on the cross he said, "Father, forgive these guys. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't get the significance of this moment. Forgive them." And he loved them. Who does that? But God. He stepped into this world to tell you that you're wanted, you're loved, and that he wants a relationship with you in his kingdom. So I want to invite Jeff and the band to come, and in a moment we're going to sing Silent Night together. But before we do that, I want to give you a chance to respond. Right here in your seats, right where you're at. Maybe this Christmas, 2023, is the year that changes everything for you. The year that you saw Christmas trees in the jungle, the year that these little floating balls came to you, so to speak, the year that you saw your picture on a sign, and the year that you just knew that you were not just some imperfect person in need of a slight tweak or change in your life, but that you were a rebel needing to lay down your arms. Because that's what we are. That's what we need to do. To lay down our fight that we always have. We need to lay down our own arrogance, our own pride at the feet of Jesus and say, "Jesus, you took the cross for me. We accept what you did. Would you forgive me of my sin and help me to walk fresh with you?" There's little cards in the seat backs of your chairs. They're yellow cards, and they just say yes on it. If your answer today is yes to Jesus, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you to fill out one of those cards and put it in the offering box, so we could follow up with you. Because we serve a big God that wants to walk a new journey with you. And I want to pray for us right now as we begin, and then we're gonna do Silent Night here in a second. So let's pray. If this is you, and your reaction today is yes to this message, that you are not just a creature in need of a slight tweak or improvement, but you're the person that needs to lay their weapons down. You need to lay your rebellion down. I want to encourage you to just pray. Just in the quietness of your seat, in your own heart. "God, I lay down my rebellion before you. I lay down my brokenness before you. I lay down my sin before you. And I ask you to make me new today. God, I believe in your power to save me. I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe, Lord, that you can make me new. And I pray that you would help me to turn from my sin and to change and walk a brand new life today." God, I just thank you for those who've prayed that prayer right now. God, I believe that you're making them new as we speak. And God, even right now, you're doing a new thing in their life. So I pray that you would do an incredible thing in their life this Christmas, and that they would mark that today, December 24th, 2023, was the day that you changed everything, because heaven met earth in their life. In the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the River's Edge Church podcast with Pastor Dave Johnson. We hope you enjoyed this episode and that God has touched your heart through today's message. Please leave us a review and share with your friends. For more information about the ministries of REC, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. See the links in the description.